Welcome everybody to week 18's episode of the Lone Road iRacers podcast with me, your host Guy Robertson. Tonight you get an insight into how to run a successful iRacing league with our guest interviewee Sandro Capello from RadicalSimRacing.com. So without further ado, let's talk to Sandro. Welcome, Sandro, to today's podcast. Tell the listeners about the iRacing league you run and what your role is.
Thanks, Guy, for having me on the podcast. The iRacing league I'm running is the Radical Sim Racing League. It's RadicalSimRacing.com. We are running championships with the SR10, both in Europe and the Americas, for pro and amateur classes. And basically, the main goal of our league is to create championships and create races that give everyone on the grid something to aim for, whether you are at the top or the bottom, or racing in the midfield. So while you can just go for taking the crown in the championship, you might also have the chance to qualify for the world finals, which we host two times a year. And further down the grid, you still in the fight for relegation or promotion between the pro and amateur groups. So that's the goal that we have. We have the goal to give everyone something to aim for, give everyone a joyful race, and hope to keep people on track and enjoying what they are doing with us. My role in this whole thing is, I would say, I'm something like the admin mayor or something like that. I run the website, I host the sessions, I discuss the formats and the format with the group that we set up. We started out as a pretty small community, have grown seriously in the last time, and we just try to keep people engaged and know what they want, know what keeps them going, and give them the championships they would like, they dream of, the championships that they dream of, the things you would do if you say, what could a great championship look like? What should it look like? What would I like to do when I get in my rig? And that's what we try to create. And I'm just like, maybe it's the best thing is to say I'm like the admin and the moderator of the group, because I'm always keen to know what people are into, what their ideas are, what they think, what could make this better and make our championships thrive.
And Sandro, I know you're doing a cracking job in your role, and I know the Radical Sim Racing League, as you said, is growing day by day. So thanks for giving us that opening insight. So who is Sandro Capello?
I live in Vienna in Austria. I'm married, I have four kids. And what I think what brings me in this role of moderating and running this league is I've studied political science. That doesn't sound that related in first place. But afterwards I was working on my PhD on participatory decision making processes. And basically that's about participation in politics. And I came to realize that there are quite some similarities between political participation and getting on track in iRacing, because people can do so much stuff and you have to reach out to them. You have to get their interest in joining you, and you have to make the whole thing worthwhile for them to engage with you. And I think that's the thing that puts me in this position, and I think that lets me do a somehow good job, at least for the people that are in our community. I think many believe that we are doing a good job and we're doing a good work, and I think that's the point where this stems from.
And would you ever thought that doing a PhD and linking iRacing or sim racing together would ever be a clash? Or, it seems to be an amazing insight that you've discovered.
You mean a clash in which sense do you mean a clash?
Where you've actually got like a magnet effect of your insights that you learn through your PhD and all your studies, and then how to engage the sim racing community.
No, I would have never thought this. It's really just, it was like beginning of this year when I first made this connection in my head. At the beginning, I thought, okay, I didn't manage to finish my PhD next to the kids, because it's a different stuff than running the league. Running a league is, it's 5 minutes here, it's 5 minutes there, and then it's working on an afternoon. But you can't write the PhD thesis in this way. And I was kind of like, okay, I have to quit this PhD thing. Running the league is awesome. And then I realized when I was thinking about how we should grow the league, how we can grow the league in the sense of making it healthier. We started out as a pretty small community, with the goal of just getting on track together and having fun. And then realized in the beginning of 2021 that while we thought we will just grow slowly and have this nice community feeling to it and get on track together, we realized that we will not just grow slowly, we might die slowly, because people are always getting caught up in different things. And that's the point where we started to think about how to grow the field, the league to a healthy size, for people to make it worthwhile to get on track. Because in December of 20, was what was it, 2021, we had our fun races, and it was exciting, and we went on track for 90 minutes in the Radicals. But at the same time, we always were wondering how many cars will we have on track, who will be able to make it, and we ended up with 10 to 12 cars in general. And that's all, it's always the case for people who are part of it. It's a nice thing to get on track with your mates you met online, but at the same time, you have a big kind of obligation, because if you might miss a race and someone else might miss a race, there might just be 7 or 8 cars on track for 90 minutes, and then the whole thing isn't worthwhile for anyone anymore. And so we said, okay, we have to grow. We have to grow to make this thing working and keep it alive. And that's basically been the point where I was able to think about what I've learned and what I've discovered while doing my PhD thesis. And thought about, okay, how can I apply things I learned there to this environment, or what are similarities? Yes, that's been about the point. It's been beginning of 2022.
Wonderful. Sim racing. What got Sandro into sim racing?
It's like I've always been into motorsports, or basically I've been basically into F1 since I was a little kid, watching it with the adults, and from then on I was a big Ferrari fan. I watched basically all the races. I even watched free practice. My whole weekends were occupied by F1, and I was watching everything, free practice. And oh no, not I don't mean free practice, I mean warm up on Sunday. I even watched warm up prior to the races, and of course I also played it on the PC, until I think until Ferrari won the first championship and the second one. Then I kind of lost interest in watching every race, because we were winning every race. That's nice, but it's also kind of boring. And yes, I just over the years I got myself a wheel and race a bit. I think it was F1 22, 23 from EA Sports. And my wheel broke. I was a student that I didn't have the money to buy me a wheel or a PC that was capable of doing more than doing work for my studies. And yeah, basically in I think 2015 around, I gave Project Cars a try, just sitting at my home and doing hot laps when the kids were sleeping. And then I got the first time into an online race, just joining a session in Project Cars. And it was absolutely amazing. I mean, I was totally occupied by it and totally excited about racing online against people. It's a completely different touch to it than racing against the AI or racing or just doing your solo runs. And from that on, I went on to get myself a proper wheel. I mean, a proper wheel, a Thrustmaster T300, and went on iRacing because the problem with Project Cars was just the time and the region where I am. There, in general, weren't that many open sessions that you could join. So I thought, okay, iRacing, I might be able to race every week. I have this. There are these tracks I can prepare for, and I can get on track. And then I had a kind of on-off relation with iRacing, because my wife moved, not moved, she went on vacation to her parents with the kids for a week or two, and I thought, okay, now it's my time. I will have time to prepare. And the next track was Brands Hatch, and I said, no, I so the track in the next week was Brands Hatch. So I said, I won't just get on track this week. I will prepare the whole week for the next week. And don't know, made I ran Brands Hatch like 2 hours every day. And then I went on track the next week at Brands Hatch, and I was like 2 seconds off pace against the front runners. And I thought, okay, I'm done with this. I'm not able to race fast. I have no pace in myself, and I basically quit sim racing. But it's like 3 or 4 months later, I just wanted to get on track again.
Yeah, you get that itch again.
Yes, exactly. It's like there's something missing, and I said, okay, I have to do this again. And then when we raced in our league and we came to Brands Hatch, I realized, okay, I know that track, and I'm fast. I have some pace on that track. So it paid off in that kind of sense.
Wonderful. How did you get into running the iRacing leagues then?
Yeah, that it's the getting into the iRacing League. There was this, no, there were two Italians. It was Roberto Modena and Umberto Napoleoni. They invited people to race in the former Baltic leagues with the Radical SR8 at this time. And I got an invitation for the league, and I thought about getting on track. They had like I think it was limited to 30 or 40 participants. And I wrote them that I would like to get on track, but I don't know if I will really have time to get on track every week and to prepare every week. But I did, and I managed to do so, and it was exciting. I didn't know anything about leagues before this point. I wasn't. I knew there were leagues on iRacing, but I never gave it a thought. It's nothing that came to my mind or struck me that there are leagues. And but when I joined the league, I initially at the first moment when I got on this Discord server and I saw how Roberto and Umberto organized the league, I recognized how much one could do with a league. You know, what possibilities are there, what you could build running a league. And I was in exchange with them. I talked with them about how they do things, why they do things, what I think they could do better, what I think could be done in a different way, what I think could help to improve the league. And we've been we've been in discussions all the time about the league and what they want to do with it, they want to go forward. And they've shared a lot of knowledge with me because they too have been running leagues since the early 2000s. But as far as I understand it, always as a one-off thing. Like they were, as far as I understand it, they ran a league and then they ran another league and then another league. And however, when the first season ended, that's been around end of June, beginning of July, Roberto and Umberto, they went for holidays and they didn't give us any prospect on what will be the next thing. Where are we going to with this league? When will the next season start? And so I asked them if it's fine for them if I just keep the people engaged, and we just organize some races throughout summer. And they were fine with it, and they said, "Yeah, do what you want to do. Feel free to do what you want to do." And so I set up a league in iRacing for all of them, and we made a little summertime championship. Always in struggle with things like people on vacation, who's available, who's not available. So we were like working our way through summer with doodlings, getting to know who can be on track next week. And we tried just some things out during summer. We made I know we made like 75 minutes at Okayama short with I think 8 cars or 10 cars as a bit. Knowing that the people are from different pace, and so we just took a safety car, the pace car, as a way to keep the field together. So I think every 30 minutes we just deployed a pace car to get the field back together. And that's basically been the stuff that we did throughout summer.
Well,
When
that's I've never seen actually anybody use the pace car to kind of, recover the pack, if you like. So that's a real good idea.
Yeah, but we had to come up with ideas because we knew we wouldn't be 20 cars on the grid. We knew we could be 10, we might be 12, we might be 8. And people wanted to make longer races. We started this in the first season with this Formula Baltic Leagues. I think we had 40-minute races, and people wanted to make longer races. And so we said, okay, let's try 75 minutes. Because there were some that said, okay, an hour is already a bit long. Some said, okay, 90 minutes would be perfect. And then we just went for the middle and said, okay, we try 75 minutes. And we had to get our head around how to make that worthwhile. And then we came up with this pace car, keeping the field together every 30 minutes. But it didn't work out perfectly because I was also on track, and I just knew I would deploy the safety car after 30 minutes, around 30 minutes, yes. And the leader of the race just went to the pits at the moment where I deployed the safety car. So he made his pit stop, went out on track again, and we knew that everyone else would also have to go to the pits to get fresh fuel. And so the victor was set with the first base with the first safety car because the field was together and he already did his stop and everyone else had to do it again. But nevertheless, it was fun to race and the people were back together and he was at the back. He had to make his way through to the front again,
Yeah,
knowing that he's basically
gave him a new ch Gave him a
Yes.
new challenge.
Exactly.
So
But that's.
that's some real out of the box thinking, Sandro, to come up with a safety car, like I said earlier, to keep the pack together. I'm going to ask you a kind of question now that this is one of these kind of out of the box questions. What famous person would you like to invite to dinner and why?
What famous person I would like to invite to dinner? There are generally a lot of names running through my mind in general, but now I'm just empty. I have to give it a thought. I have to give it a thought. It's I think I would go for I think you have to cut this out, my long thinking process. But it's really you got me on the wrong foot. I have to My head's completely empty at the moment. I don't even I'm not even able to make up a name.
We'll come back to it. We'll come back to that
Yeah,
one.
we'll come back to that one.
So what has been the challenges along the way so far?
There's always a financial challenge. We finance this by donations and it works, but it's always we are always kind of at the brink where we are able to pay all the things we have to pay, and it's not that big of a challenge because okay, in the end, if we might need some bucks here or there, I'm happy to throw them in, but that's a question, you know. It's the broadcast. It's something you have to raise the money, and we weren't sure if we managed to do that in the beginning. Like when we introduced the broadcasted races in the beginning of 2020, was it 2022? I think yes. It was just down to the community. Everyone said, "Okay, we want this to go on, and everyone will take a fair share and try to pay for a broadcast for a race so that we are going." But in the end, I think we have 24, something like 30 races in a season. It's a sum, and it wasn't clear right from the beginning if we will raise enough money to pay these costs. That's the financial aspect of running the league. Then there's the transition to the SR10 was really a big one. It's like, you know, when we got the info that the SR10 comes to iRacing, we were already discussing if we should just finish the just race the last seasons of the current season we were running, if we should just already race them with the SR10 because it's just awesome. There's this new car. Let's race the SR10 and no longer the SR8. Then we decided, no, it's this championship. We have to go on with this car, but the next one will be with the SR10. And then in the first season with the SR10, people were not that excited about it. There was these issues with the tires. I would also guess people trying to race the car in a way that it's not suited for, maybe. And it was like summer of last year, where we then took the chance to say, okay, we have to wait and let the dust settle and see what comes around. We transitioned to RadicalSimRacing.com from FBL community, where no one knew what that stands for anymore. And it was throughout summer, it wasn't clear if the SR10 will be the car to go, or if there maybe might the SR8 might come back, or might there be other leagues that establish SR8 championships. And so while we were already a good and healthy field in the spring of 22, it was like you don't know who will stick to it, who will transition with us to the SR10. And it was like had a bit of feeling of uncertainty if we might have to build a community from scratch. That's been quite challenging. But we also had that we also worked out this new format with the world finals, and that's I think it's quite engaging for people. And
No,
yeah.
it definitely is. It's not only can you be promoted and demoted, you've also got that. Can I get to that? World final. It's
Yeah.
definitely a big incentive. I was lucky to get squeezed in at the end to the finals, and the format of the finals as well over two tracks. And putting the pros and ams all together on the same tracks at the same time was a really good idea from yourself and the rest of the guys running the league. So really appreciated it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I think really it works great to have been some reaching out to me saying that they are quite motivated by it, and I think it's a cool concept, and I think it's something genuine to our community, at least from my understanding. I don't think you have this kind of format and in other leagues, and you have this, it's not just a season that ends and then starts the next, but there's a story to it. They are connected together with promotion, demotion, and qualifying for the finals. Yeah, I think it helped to raise some interest, and we've made it we've we made a good start already last season in Europe. It's been quite harder to get a foot on the ground in the Americas, but now that Diego Zuccarelli and Juan Monsada are getting involved and working to grow the Americas, we are in a good way. And I think the goal was to have 30 drivers in the Americas on the grid for this season, the season that's now running. I'm not sure if we will get there, but I'm quite sure we will. I'm quite sure we are on a good track, and that it will grow just like in Europe, where we are just about to reach 60 drivers with the ready for the European Pro and Am Series. And I think by the end of the year or by summer, we could also be there for the Americas.
No, that'll be a wonderful achievement. Sandro, what is your proudest moment so far?
The proudest moment so far. It's a proud moment. The proudest moment so far, one of the proudest moments is I think when you don't run a league like this, I think you just get on track when there's a race, but I'm always nail biting in front of every race and watching participation numbers. Like, okay, we have 10 cars on track, 11 cars on track, 12 cars on track, 13 cars on track. No, there's no one coming. Oh, we are 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. And then when we reach 20, it's like, okay, well, it works. I'm really, that's something, when you run the league, it's kind of crucial. I was really worried at the beginning of our World Cup series. Last season, the first race was the European M Group, and we had just been 12 cars on track, with us saying, okay, we have 40 drivers in Europe, but we just split the field into two groups with for separate races. With at that moment, I think it's been 19 or 20 drivers registered for the pros and the Ams, and I was, oh my God, will this really work out? We are just 12 cars on track. But it played out great, and I'm really happy that when we reached the final round of the regular championships. I think in the European M groups we still had 20 cars, more than 20 cars on track, and that's been something I've been really proud of, because it's when you run a league, and especially when, like I say, I'm not running a league, we're running championships. It's only working if you are able to motivate those who are further back to get on track, because it's not that hard to motivate someone who's fighting for a podium or someone who's fighting for a win. Yeah, he gets that excitement for fighting for the win, and he gets that excitement from fighting for the podium. But that guy at the top, it's only something to achieve if there are people on track. If you know, if you're just three cars on track and you are fighting for a win, it's not that great. But if you're running a field with 20, 25 now, most likely 30 cars on track, that is something. It's something to be on top of that. And there are people who run at the midfield, which might be, I don't know. I don't know about everyone, but I think when I was more competitive, because I had more time to practice and had to devote less time to organizing this, I was maybe running around P10, but I knew that there might be that track where I could snatch a podium. There might be that situation where I could get on a podium, and that's something that was motivating. And then when you the further back you are, the harder it is to stay motivated, because you know there are dozens of leagues out there. You might be running at the back of the pros. You might be at P18, but you know there are leagues out there where you would be on P1, where you would be fighting for the win. And to see that the format we've built, that the community around it is great enough and good enough to motivate everyone to get on track, that's just been amazing. I've been really proud of about this, seeing still most of the people get on track in the last races of the championship. That's been really a big achievement, and that's something I'm really proud of, having managed to get there. But
It's great to be, it's, Sandra. It's great to be proud of that as well. So, quite right. You should be as well. Really, really good work. Like you said, to keep mid pack back people who are finishing at the back motivated to keep coming back week on week is an amazing feat. So brilliant and well done. So, what's the big thing for Radical Sim Racing in 2023?
well, in 2023, we are now somehow linked to Radical Motorsport. There is some channel of talks with them, and we'll organize our Radical Sim Racing World Finals will take place alongside the real world, the real life Radical Motorsport World Finals. That's quite a big chance for us to get recognized, to raise credibility for our league and our community. And that's the big thing in 2023. There are also other things. We'll have a world finals in the end of spring again. We will host races, or special events. We will make special events alongside some of Radical Motorsports' real life races, like I think towards the beginning of April at Donington. And who knows? I mean, it's still a long time to go, but maybe that's something where we can organize a first real life come together. That's kind of a tough thing for our community, because we have people from all the way from Norway to Argentina, so we won't manage to get everyone together, I'm quite sure. But we might be able to make events, some little events around the world, maybe the US,
Well,
in the
that gives us a
UK.
great, yeah, that gives us a great insight, Sandro, into, the potential of what the Radical Sim Racing League and community is now bringing. So, thanks for giving us that insight. What advice would you give someone thinking of starting an iRacing league?
The advice I can only talk from my experiences, and it's I think you have to get your head around a few things. You can't do things that others already do, because there's no need for anyone to join you. So you have to make something genuine. Might be the car, might be the track. There are lots of amazing stuff going on out there. And you have to be aware that it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to get people into your league. That's really one of the toughest jobs overall, because you can advertise a league on Instagram, you can advertise a league on Twitter, maybe on Facebook, on the iRacing forums. But in the end, you have to reach out to people. We think most people in our community got to know us because we sent them an email, and we had to send out a lot of emails to get people into the league. To get, that's the participation stuff. That's something that from my PhD thesis, that's something like the first time it struck me is Roberto and Umberto, they told me they had to get these 30 or 40 people, I don't know anymore, on track for this first season. They had to send out 600 emails. They approached 600 drivers to get into the league. And that's basically exactly the thing that you would also see when it's about political participation. If you want to invite people to even if the government wants to invite people to come to a discussion, take part, share their views, share their knowledge and what they would like some kind of policy to be like, that's about the same number. It's you will send out 600 invitations, and you will get 30 to 40 people replying and taking part in that. So it's a lot of work. At the same time, it's clear you can advance this, or you can speed up this process, I guess, with a big prize. But a big prize, it's like, it does, I believe it does something to the community. You people approach races different if there's a big prize to win, because there's something more at stake than having fun and enjoying yourself. And you might see some you might be see some bad accidents, maybe, or not so nice behavior on track and off track. It's a different thing if you get caught out, if you get caught out in that fight for a position, if it's for fun and enjoyment and for qualifying for the world finals. And it's a different thing than if you have a big prize to win for people. So I think that does something to the community. And then there's the big question: if you are a paid league, how you finance it? I mean, my goal for our community is that no one has to pay anything anymore, but that everyone gets something to get on track with us. That would be the goal for Radical Sim Racing, for our championships. But you might have to cover these costs that you have. You need a broadcast. Definitely, I think you can't thrive anymore as a league without a broadcast. It's nothing you can advertise anymore. It's just what you need to have, and yeah, then we finance our broadcast based on donations from the community, and we get some support from Paul Clark, or who is sponsoring us with ilauncheracing.com. But I think part of I have the feeling, at least I have the perception, that our community is really a community. There's a bit less going on than was in the past, but it's fine. It's just grown, but it. Not being a paid league makes it a lot more intimate. You are doing this together. Everyone's playing his part in making this work. And if you are a paid league, if we would say, okay, you have to pay, I don't know, 20, 30 euros, to get on track with us. I think that's the point where people feel they, if you pay for something, you feel entitled for this. And I, throughout the years I'm doing this, I've heard a lot of frustration from people in our community who are racing in other leagues where they have to pay something to get on track, and people feel entitled to, when I pay for something, I want to have this experience. I'm paying to win. I'm paying to have this close fight, and then there are a lot of people who just get caught out together. So.
Well, that Sandra, that gives anybody is thinking of setting a league up that real good depth of how the layers of running a successful league all layer on top of each other to make it tick and make it work. And like you've said, the basis of any good league is the community that is contributing a little bit financially, but voluntary, but also staying with the rest of the drivers on the track from all around, in our league, Europe and America, in the American side. And they're enjoying it. That's what it's about. It's about getting that buzz, getting that enjoyment, and having a crack while you're on the track as well. It's not all about the winning, especially for me. Others, it is the defining thing that drives them. But for a lot of people, it's about getting to know different people from all over the world.
Exactly, and in the end, the radical sim racing thrives and dies with its drivers. If people don't get on track anymore, there is no radical sim racing anymore. I've said this, I think, a ton of times in the channel, and the few times I've been in the booth during our broadcasts for an interview afterwards. It's all down to the people in this community. If they don't get on track, then there is no radical sim racing, and that's about everyone. It's the person winning the race is just exactly as important as the guy finishing the race in P30. It's only working if everyone gets on track, and as it's just not worthwhile. And as you might be excited if you win a race, but if you win a race with six cars, you won't be that excited anymore, and you won't, you'll also quit. It's really every single one in there, getting on track, sharing their thoughts, sharing their needs, sharing their wishes, announcing, telling us what they would like to do, and telling us what they think could be done better. That's exactly what's needed to make this work. Because without them, it just doesn't work. There are around 60 in Europe, and now around 22 in the Americas, and every single one is just utterly important for this to work. Everyone plays his part. Some donate more, some donate less, some get on track more often, some miss a few more races, and everyone is playing his part to make this work. And it's a crucial part of radicalsimracing.com, and of the,
Sandro, that's given any newbie league racer a real good insight into that. So, you dodged a question earlier. We're going to let that one go, but this question is kind of the podcast question. So every interviewee will have this question. The question is, what famous person would you want to interview, and why?
I would like to interview Ross Brawn. Ross Brawn, I would like to interview him because I think he, I read his book on F1. I don't know the title of the book anymore, but it was about strategy and tactics in running things. And in this book, he was talking about everything needs a 3-year plan, I think, something like that. You have to make a 3-year plan of how you approach things, how you get to a goal, and how you can get there. And then when he, what was he? Was he? I think he was. What was he? The boss of Liberty Media? No, he was running that F1 rule change group. I don't know anymore how what what the position exactly was, but he was making a 3-year plan. I found that quite interesting that he's gave his book quite some weight. What to see that he's doing this in real life, or to see him do this in real life, what he was writing about in this book, you know, his 3-year plan for adapting the rules of F1 to make it more exciting. And I would really like to have a chat with him about that.
Ross Brawn, yeah, he was very, very successful in what he did. I still see him on the grid. I don't know actually who he's working for in his current role, but clearly wherever he'll go, he'll be successful. So, Ross Brawn, I want to guess that he come up with that person, but yeah, correct. Really, it would be good to interview, get to know him. Get to know how he thinks and, you know, try and pinch a bit of your own success and piggyback off his. Sandro, tell the listeners where they can find out more about Radical Sim Racing.
Well, on our website, they can just go to our website. It's radicalsimracing.com, and they can join our Discord server. There's a link in the top right. You can join our Discord server and just engage with people. You know, it's don't hesitate to ask if you have any questions, and just tell us what you need to know. And regard this, I think the great thing about the community is you can regard yourself as a member of it. Once you join it, you're not this newbie that just has to ask, okay, how do I do that? You can voice your ideas, try to make this better. And yeah, just join us on Discord. It's a friendly community, and get along with us.
Sandro, it's been wonderful talking to you. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. All I can do is wish Radical Sim Racing a successful 2023 and your good self, of course. So, once again, Sandro Cappella, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Guy, for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
So, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that real good insight and that interview with Sandro Cappello. Anybody that wants to understand or get to know more about how to run a successful iRacing league, find yourself into the Discord on Sandro's Discord server and just have a chat with the guys and Sandro on there. They're very willing to help you. Over the next coming weeks, you'll get to hear more brilliant insights with new interviewees. Until then, enjoy yourselves and I'll see you on the track soon.